Hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber of Bethel Church in Tuppers Plains, Ohio, where our mission is connecting people to God. Welcome to our podcast. I'm very excited to share the Word of God with you today, because according to Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I trust this message will increase your faith as you listen to what God has for you today. God bless and enjoy.
This morning is hope. Now, hope is, from a biblical perspective, is not something that we think might happen. You may be seated. Hope, from a Bible perspective, is assurance that something has happened and is going to happen. And we have assurance, we have hope in the fact that Jesus was raised from the dead. And we also have hope in the fact that he was the first fruits of the risen from the dead. And those who believe in him will also come back to life. The death and the grave have been defeated. Jesus is alive. Amen. So I want to talk to you this morning briefly about hope. Jeremiah 17:7 says, "Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, and his hope is the Lord." The Lord is our hope. He's our hope for the future. He's our hope for every circumstance and every situation. He's the only hope we have to see things change in this world that need to change. We're living in a world that is falling apart. You don't have to watch much news to recognize or listen to any kind of media. You know, you recognize that our world is in danger. We're in danger of financial ruin. We're in danger of famine. We're in danger of war. We're in danger of a lot of things. But praise God, regardless of what's going on in the world, we still have hope. And that hope is in Jesus. That hope is in the reality that he is a risen Savior and that he can change lives one at a time. One person at a time. And when he changes individual lives, he changes a community. When he changes communities, he changes cities. And when he changes cities and states, he changes nations. Jesus is a change agent. The Holy Spirit has come to cause us to recognize. This morning, the Holy Spirit is in this place, and he's speaking to hearts this morning. He's causing you to hear things that you've never heard before. Not because you've never been told them before, but the Holy Spirit this morning is opening your ears and your eyes to hear and to see. The NIV says this particular scripture in Jeremiah 17:7. He says, "Blessed are those who trust in the Lord and have made the Lord their hope and confidence." If you made the Lord your hope, you have confidence. And no matter what is happening in our world, you have confidence that our God is in control. He has promised us that. People have hope in a lot of things, material things, wealth, health, maybe relationships. Many times our hope is dashed because things don't turn out exactly the way we want them to. Many people believe that there's hope for eternal life. Most of us sitting in this room believe that. Jesus gave us that hope. But sometimes we just don't have a complete understanding of what that hope really means. There's a lot of confusion about God and Jesus. Let me just read a few quotes to you from some people that we would refer to as celebrities. Tim McGraw, most of you probably know who Tim McGraw is, country singer. Tim McGraw says, I know if I told you what God looked like and felt like, then I'd be telling you a story. I just think we don't know. God manifests himself, herself, or itself in a way that we need it, and in a way that we can grab a hold of, and a way that we can put our arms around. That was an interview in Knoxville, Tennessee. He is very confused about who God is. He's not just a he. He is the creator of all things. Not a her, not an it. The God of all creation. Brad Pitt says this. He doesn't think there's a place to be found in religion. There may be peace to be found in the acceptance of the unknown, that there could be an unexplained power. These people are confused about what the truth is. Katy Perry, who was a daughter of evangelical ministers, Keith and Mary Hudson, she says she doesn't believe in heaven, hell, or an old man sitting on a throne. Neither do I. Our God is not an old man. Our God, yes, he has been around for eternity, but he doesn't age. He's perfect in all his ways. She does, however, maintain that she is still spiritual and continues to pray to a higher power of some kind. Bruce Willis says, I believe there are a lot of things in this world that happen that are inexplicable but still happen, and I accept that. And that, to me, is part of what I call God. As you can see, there's lots of confusion. Here's one that can confuse a lot of people because she has a lot of influence and a lot of, she has a lot of power, and that's Oprah Winfrey. When Oprah says, I am a Christian who believes that there are certainly many more paths to God than Christianity. That is not true. If you believe that, you do not believe what the Bible teaches. You do not, if you believe that, you can't really call yourself a Christian, because a Christian is a follower of Jesus Christ. And a Christian is someone who hears what Jesus taught and believes it and applies it to their life. And you must accept what Jesus, if you call yourself a Christian, you must believe what Jesus said about himself. And in John 14:6, he says this, contradicting Oprah, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. There are no other ways. Buddha's not a way. Muhammad's not a way. Any of these other religions are not a way to God. There's one way. Jesus is that way. And Jesus is alive, and we're celebrating his resurrection today. He's alive. So briefly this morning, I want to share with you three different people groups that we find in the Word of God and during the time that Jesus was being crucified. The first are those who are blind to hope. The second are those who are trying to find hope and can find it. And the third are those who need hope resurrected. Now I'm going to look real quickly at Matthew chapter 27, verse 11 through 23. I'm going to read that. Matthew chapter 27, verse 11 through 23. Now Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, saying, Are you a king of the Jews? Jesus said to him, It is as you say. And while he was being accused by the chief priests and elders, he answered nothing. Then Pilate said to him, Do you not hear how many things they are testifying against you? But he answered him not one word, so that the governor marveled greatly. Now at the feast, the governor was accustomed to releasing to the multitude one prisoner whom they wished. And at that time, they had a notorious prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore, When they had gathered together, Pilate said to them, "Whom do you want me to release to you, Barabbas or Jesus who is called Christ?" For he knew that they had handed him over because of envy. While he was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent to him, saying, "Have nothing to do with this just man, for I have suffered many things today in a dream because of him." But the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitudes that they should ask for Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor answered and said to them, "Which of the two do you want me to release to you?" They said, "Barabbas." Pilate said to them, "What then shall I do with Jesus who is called Christ?" All said to him, "Let him be crucified." Then the governor said, "Why? What evil has he done?" But they cried out all the more, saying, "Let him be crucified." Just 4 days before this, the whole multitude, most of those people who were in that crowd, were hailing Jesus as the Messiah. They were calling him King, the Son of David, and singing hallelujah and praising his name. And now those same people had lost hope. They were blind to hope. Hope was standing right before them. And they were calling out, "Crucify him. Crucify him." He didn't meet their expectations. They expected a great warrior to come at that time and deliver them from the Romans. And Jesus came as a meek and mild servant, the Lamb of God, and was about to be crucified because he was rejected by the masses. "Crucify him," they said. "Crucify him." They were blind to the hope that was before them. Many people, I hate to say this, but many people sitting in church services today, all over this nation and all over the Western world, supposedly worshiping the risen Savior, but they're blind to the hope that he offers them. They've turned a blind eye to it. They're not listening. Jesus said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and you can't come to the Father unless you come through him." That's what he said. But many are going to walk out these doors and doors of churches all over and still be blind to that truth. John 3:16 said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved." The Greek word here for world is cosmos. And in its text, it's talking about the inhabitants of the earth, all of mankind. Jesus did not come for just an elite group of people. Jesus came for every person on the face of the earth. All we have to do is have eyes to see and ears to hear what he's saying to us. But many are going to remain blind to that fact. It doesn't matter how much I beg, how much I proclaim the truth to you this morning, some are going to remain blind. Just like these celebrities are blind to the truth. And the sad thing is that the blindness will result in what the Bible says is eternal punishment unless you turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, those who have accepted Christ as a personal Savior have their name written in a special book. It's called the Book of Life. And when you have your name written there, you're good to go. Guess what? You're invited to the greatest party that will ever be thrown throughout the whole universe. If your name is not written in that book, well, let me read to you what Revelation says. Revelation 20:15. Anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. These are not my words. These are the words of Jesus when he appeared to John the Revelator. Without accepting Jesus Christ, without recognizing what he did for us on the cross, that's the outcome. The second group are people who are trying to find hope. They're searching for hope. We're going to read Luke real quick. Luke chapter 23, verse 32 and 33, and then we'll jump over to 39 and 43. There was also two other criminals led with him to be put to death. And when they had come to the place called Calvary, there they crucified him. And the criminals, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Now, over to verse 39. Then one of the criminals who were hanged blasphemed him, saying, "If you are the Christ, save yourself and us." But the other, answering, rebuked him, saying, "Do you not even fear God, seeing you are under the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due rewards of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." And he said to Jesus, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus said to him, "Surely I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." This scripture should give us all great hope. Because no matter what you've done in your life, no matter how evil you may think it has been, these men were criminals. David in the Old Testament was a murderer, an adulterer, and a murderer. And yet, God forgave him. We live under a better covenant than David had. We live under the New Testament covenant, covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. So it matters not what we have done in our past. It matters not what has happened in our life. What matters is that we allow our sins to be washed away by the blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ, the risen Savior. Proverbs 23:18 says, "For surely there is a hereafter, and your hope will not be cut off." If you put your hope in Jesus like this thief hanging on the cross beside of him, you will get the same response from Jesus. "When you die, today you will be with me in paradise." The celebrities I quoted earlier, they didn't have a clue about the truth that is found in the scripture. But I'm encouraged because there are some celebrities that do know what it means to trust in Jesus Christ. Let me give you some quotes from these people. If you're a basketball fan, you probably know Stephen Curry. Stephen Curry is a born-again believer. And he said many things about Christ, but he says this: "There's more to me than just this jersey," talking about the jersey that he wears playing basketball. "And that's Christ living inside of me." Absolutely understands what it means to be a believer in Jesus Christ. Manny Pacquiao, who is a boxer, says this: "Being a Christian means accepting Christ as your Savior, your God. That's why you are called a Christian. If you remove Christ, there's only I am, and that means I'm nothing." Stephen Baldwin: Jesus isn't a logo. I'm not promoting some company, some brand. I'm just professing my faith in Christ." Russell Nelson: "When we speak of faith, the faith that can move mountains, we are not speaking of faith in general, but faith in the Lord Jesus Christ." Denzel Washington: he's one of my favorites. "Inside every one of us, we have something tugging at us, telling us to believe in something. The Bible is the answer to that." Justin Bieber: I didn't even know he was a Christian, but I got some quotes. "I don't know these people personally. All I'm doing is taking their word for what they've said." So listen to what he says: "Do you feel you have exhausted all options? Do you feel hopeless? Do you feel like you are never good enough? What if I told you that there's a God that's willing to meet you wherever you are? That if I told you He could take away your pain, shame, guilt, and fears? What if I told you it was Jesus?" That's powerful. If you're searching for hope today, you're in the right place. You're here because God appointed you to be here so that you could hear the gospel message, the truth that Jesus is alive, the truth that He died on the cross for your sins, the truth that He not only died, but He defeated death and hell, and He came back to life. And when you accept that, the Bible says that you're accepting a new life. You become a new creature in Christ. The last group that I want to talk to you this morning about, we're going to go back to Matthew chapter 28. I'm going to read verse 1 through 8. Now after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning and his clothes as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who is crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, come see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And indeed, he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you." So they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to bring his disciples word. Proverbs 12:13 says, "Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but when the desire comes, it is a tree of life." The Hebrew word mashak means to draw or drag out. Deferred really actually means to delay. So when hope is delayed, a heart gets sick. You see, we have to try to put ourselves in the place of the disciples, Mary Magdalene, the other women. Their hopes had been dashed. They had expectations that Jesus was going to set up his kingdom on the earth. They followed him. They believed in him. But their thoughts about the way he was going to go about things were all wrong. Jesus came and he fulfilled the scripture. He did exactly what the Bible said he was going to do. He was going to die on the cross for the sins of the world. But they had expected him to be a great ruler and set up his kingdom. And now all their hopes were completely gone. And when Mary went to that tomb, she did not, Pastor Eddie put it this morning, she didn't expect to find a risen Savior. But when she got there, her hope was resurrected. The angel told her in other scripture, "He's not here. Why are you looking for the dead among the living? He's alive." And her hope was resurrected. All their hope was resurrected that day. Mary and everyone who followed Jesus had their hope resurrected. All of them had given up much to follow Jesus. And at this point, they had no idea what they were going to do with the rest of their life. Some of the disciples had gone back to fishing, those who were fishermen. They had no hope any longer. And suddenly, that hope was resurrected. That hope's alive today. And I want you to know, there's some in here listening today that maybe you've lost hope. You've lost hope that God is going to do what you thought He was going to do. Or maybe you had hope in the wrong thing. But God wants to resurrect your hope today. Life's been difficult. We all have difficulties. We have ups and downs and ins and outs, and we go sideways sometimes. We have really tough times. We have good times. But those tough times can cause us to lose hope. I believe Jesus is reaching out today to resurrect that hope in us. I want you to know this. Jeremiah 29:11, and you may have heard this scripture many times before, But it says, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Jesus is reaching out to you today to resurrect that hope in you. But Jeremiah 12 and 13 says this, then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. That's what it takes. When we lose hope, we have to get back to our first love. We have to start searching once again for the Lord. He's not hard to find. He's standing there waiting for us. But sometimes we've lost hope to the point that we just don't even try anymore. We don't search any longer. But remember this, your hope is in your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the only thing we really have to put hope in. Today, if you seek the Lord with all your heart, He will renew your hope. He will resurrect your hope today. Many have lost hope in this world, but we have the answer. There is hope in Jesus Christ. Amen. I ran across an interesting story that I had no idea. This is another person that I had no idea had accepted Christ as their Savior and had renewed his hope in Christ. This man's name is Vincent Damon Ferner. He was born February the 4th, 1948. He was raised in a Christian family, and he accepted Christ at the age of 8 years old. But he also had a desire to play music. And at the age of 17, he started a rock band. As his career took off, his faith became less and less important to him. He eventually changed his name, and for many years, Alice Cooper pursued all the pleasures the world had to offer until he became a drug addict and an alcoholic. His wife threatened to leave him, and he came to a crossroads. And because of his upbringing, because of his early putting his faith in Jesus Christ, he knew where to turn. And his hope was resurrected. His wife said she'd come back to him on stipulations, and she gave him several. But one of them was that they had to go to church. And he would do anything. He didn't want to lose his wife. This is what Cheryl said. She would come back, but one of the stipulations was that we would start going to church. Then he went on to say, I was a poster boy for everything wrong. And then when I got sober and came back to the church, I realized that's where I belonged. He said that both the doctrine of God's justice and Jesus' sacrifice helped him come to Christ. I came to Christ because of my fear of God, he confessed. I totally understood that hell was not getting high with Jim Morrison. Hell was going to be the worst place ever. In fear, I came back to the Lord. But I went to another church, and that pastor preached the love of Christ, which now I put the two together, and it was exactly right. You see, it's true. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom, is what the Scripture tells us. So there is a certain place in our lives to fear the outcome of not receiving Christ as your personal Savior. But we are embraced because of the love and the grace that God bestows upon us. He says this, to wrap this up, drinking beer is easy. Trashing your hotel room is easy. But being a Christian, that's a tough call. Following Christ is not easy. But it's the most rewarding thing you will ever do in this life. And guess what? The best thing is we're going to be rewarded in the next life. Hallelujah. Stand with me, please. I'll wrap this up. Hallelujah. I want to ask you to just bow your head with me. I want to have a word of prayer, and I hope that you took to heart the things that I've said. If you do not know Christ as your personal Savior, Word of God says, confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, and you'll be saved. That's how simple it is. But then you begin to live a different life. If that's you in here this morning, I pray that you hear those words and you make that commitment. If you're in here this morning and you've strayed, you've lost hope, there's hope for you today. You can renew that relationship with the Lord, and you can resurrect the hope that's inside of you. Today, God wants more than anything for His people, for those who have not yet accepted Him, to come to His saving grace, and those who have strayed some and want to come back to receive that hope of resurrection today. I'm going to ask you just to remain with your heads down, and we're going to pray. Father God, I ask that you touch the hearts of people in here today. Lord, that they hear this message. That your word, Father God, will go forth and minister to them. That you will cause them to hear, if they've not accepted Christ, that today is the day for them to do just that. If they want new hope, they want to resurrect the hope inside of them, today is the day. And I thank you, Father, that you're hearing this prayer.
Hello, this is Pastor Rob again. I pray you enjoyed this podcast. What a blessing it has been to have you join us on this social media platform. If you would like more information about Bethel, please check out our website at bethelchurch.community. You can also follow us on our Facebook page at Bethel Church, Tepper's Plains. Have a blessed day, and remember, love never fails.